You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, part one of a three-part visit with legendary writer and Broadway's social conscience, E.Y. Yip Harburg. Harburg is best remembered for Brother Can You Spare a Dime and his masterwork, Over the Rainbow. This program was originally broadcast in 1980.
Something sweet, something sort of grandish sweeps my soul when thou art near. My heart feels so sugar candish, my head feels so ginger beer. Something so darish, so I don't careish, stirs me from limb to limb. It's so terrific, magnificent, delish to have such an amorish, glamorish dish. We could be oh so bright and groomish, skies could be so bluish blue, life could be so loving bloomish if my ishes could come true.
Something Sort of Grandish, a program devoted to the life and lyrics of E.Y. Harburg, better known by his delightful nickname, Yip. One of the musical theater's most gifted creators, Yip Harburg grew up on Manhattan's Lower East Side. At an early age, he fell in love with light verse when he discovered Gilbert and Sullivan. In high school, he and a fellow classmate named Ira Gershwin wrote some comic features for the newspaper. Later, it was Ira Gershwin and the crash of 1929 that convinced Yip Harburg that he should try writing for a living. Before the crash came, he'd always considered writing just a hobby. Selling electric lamps was his business. It was also the crash of 1929, which gave Yip Harburg his first hit song. You'll be listening to selections from a pre-recorded interview, excerpts from an evening at the 92nd Street YMHA, and many of the songs by Yip Harburg. The song that established Yip Harburg firmly in the public ear in 1932 was a song written with composer Jay Gorney for a Schubert Brothers review called Americana. The song, here performed by Yip himself at the YMHA evening, is Brother Can You Spare a Dime.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built that railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built that tower, now it's done. Buddy, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we looked swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell. I was the kid who with a drum, say, don't you remember They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Buddy, can you spare a dime?
Lyricist Yip Harburg singing his own song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? A song which became the theme song for America during the Depression years. Yip, during his appearance at the Lyricist and Lyrics series, told the story of how the Schubert brothers, producers of Americana, in which Brother, Can You Spare a Dime was featured, almost cut the song.
The Schubert brothers, who were living apart for the last 25 years, one of them lived over the top of the Schubert Theater, the other lived over the top of Sardi's, and they hadn't spoken for 25 years. They had a system. The medium was not the message by that at that time. It was notes, and said, tell him to come over and tell him to listen to some songs. J.J. Schubert had to corroborate and verify all the songs that Lee was doing at the time. And he came over, and we sang. He says, tell him to listen to this song for the show. And so J.J. listened, and we sang, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? We sang our heart out, and his face fell. It hadn't very far to fall. And he said, tell him I don't like it. And so Lee said, ask him why. And so J.J., drawing himself up to his full splendid dictatorship and compounding his outrage, said, because it's too sordid. But Lee was the senior partner, and we got it in. The rest was history. Of course, the way we came to write it was a kind of a serendipity thing, too. Bankers and brokers were on the streets then, coming up to you with, buddy, can you spare a dime? Can you spare a dime? And the phrase, of course, impacted itself. And I said, this would be a great show for this Americana, because it was about the forgotten man. And I was writing with Jay Gorney at the time, and he had a tune, and the tune had a lyric. It was a torch song, and it went this way. I could go on crying big blue tears ever since you said we were through. I could go on crying big blue tears. Well, I said, Jay, is that lyric wedded to this tune? And he says, well, we can get a little divorce, he says, if we have the right tactics. And so I said, I've got a title for it. And then it came to be, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And that's how the thing was written. That's how the thing was gotten into the show.
Vincent Eumanns was to be my composer.
That's right, yeah.
And we did one number. He got a big advance, and he disappeared. Mm. And the show was scheduled for 2 months away, or 2 or 3 months away. And so I had no composer. And after a meeting, I said, well, if I could be fed plenty of music by several people, I'll do the show. Because all I needed was good tunes to inspire me. Mm-hmm. And in order to make up for lost time and for the time that we spent looking for Vincent Eumanns, I did some of the songs with Jay Gorney, some with Harold Arlen, and some with Burt Lane. And they were all unknown.
And I didn't realize Burt Lane had written songs.
Yeah. I called him in because he came and played 2 or 3 tunes which I liked. I said, fine, I'll pick this. Jay had 3 or 4 tunes. I said, good, I'll pick those. And Arlen came in with some tunes that he had.
Is that the first time you worked with both Harold Arlen and Burton Lane in the same show?
Right.
That's all. Isn't that amazing?
Right, yes.
That's incredible. And yes. You really didn't know either one before then?
Well, Harold Arlen and I met through Earl Carroll. He contributed some songs to the Vanities, mm-hmm. the Eighth Vanity. So I met him backstage. So and I liked his stuff. It was rather new. It was sort of a challenge to me, an enigma. Uh-huh. But I thought he had something that approached George Gershwin. At least
he's often
they really
prepare,
weren't
yeah.
the same, but he had an Americana, a typical American approach. It was away from the Viennese derivation of the Kearns and the other writers.
Right.
And I took a shine to that gutsy, earthy, really, he comes out of the Cotton Club, you know.
Yeah, real blues.
Black
kind
music,
of.
But it wasn't black music. It was a combination of Hebrew and Semitic music, Semitic and black music, Congo music,
uh-huh.
which I seem to have a great affection for. I seem to be able to write easy in that vein, much easier than I could in the flowery vein, you know, the Viennese operettas,
mm-hmm.
that the sweet songs.
I wanted to ask you about one more song in Americana, and that was a song that you wrote with Johnny Mercer. And that was a song called Satan's Little Lamb.
Yes.
And I was
song.
Wondering what it was like at that time to work, because I know you had been used to collaborating with other people, but Johnny Mercer I don't believe you had worked with before.
Johnny Mercer was a newcomer at the time. And I heard one or two of his things, and I liked him. And I thought, here was a kid with a lot of, I would say popular poetry. You know, it was down-to-earth poetry.
When the wind goes a whip, 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 whipping round my floor, and the rain comes a rap, 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 rapping at my door, give me gin to forget the sin, sin, sinner that I am, 'cause I'm only Satan's little lamb. Give me drums that'll start that thump, thump, thumping in my heart. Give me horns that'll blow, 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 blow the blues apart. Give me thrills that'll break the Ten Commandments with a wham.
Little babies won't be caring.
Ethel Merman singing Satan's Little Lamb from the 1926 review Americana.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
My guest today on Anything Goes is renowned lyricist, master of whimsy, E.Y. Yip Harburg.
Implicit sometimes in satire is a sense of prophecy, to sense the future in the instant. Instinct to see a little ahead of your time is what gives the satirist the funny point of view on the present. And so this next song, which was written for the Follies of 1934, happens to accommodate the youth of today, who have reduced the English language to two phrases and a catch-all adverb. Like. I mean like, where the producer says to the lyricist, he should, you know, like, I mean, write a song like it should, you know, like communicate the lack of communication. So here is a song that does that. Lady, last Saturday, or was it yesterday, I was rehearsing a speech. Really, I think it's a peach. Hope you don't think it a breach of recognized etiquette. I'm from Connecticut. You see the state that I'm in? I mean, I'm in a mess. What was the speech? Oh, yes. Like I like the likes of you. I like the things you do. I mean, I like the likes of you. Like I like your eyes of blue. Like I think they're blue, don't you? Like, I mean, I like the your eyes of blue. Oh dear, if I could only say what I mean. I mean, if I could mean what I say. That is, I mean, you know, to say that. I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Your looks are pure deluxe. Looks like I like the likes of you.
I want to move on to Life Begins at 8:40, which I love that title. And that's when you really got back with your old high school buddy, Ira and Gershwin.
That's right.
And did a show with Harold Arlen.
Correct, yeah.
Was that fun to get back together?
That was great fun. Yeah. That was real collaboration, and it was exciting and playful and joyous and a beautiful show. And it was a score I was very proud of, and Ira and I worked together beautifully. We had lots of fun.
Did you really write the songs together? I mean,
yes. We got together every night at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and worked till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's fabulous!
With Harold at the piano, and it was just joyous.
I really like those songs. I mean, you're a builder-upper and all.
What was great about that was that George was busy writing Porgy and Bess, and he had a penthouse across the street on 72nd Street. Ira lived on the north side of the street. George lived on the south. Uh-huh. So we were working in Ira's house while George was there. And then we'd get together and George would play us what he was doing on Porgy and Bess, and we would play him what we were doing on Life Begins at 8:40.
Oh, that must have been a really good time.
They were glorious days.
Uh-huh.
Glorious days.
You build me up and you break me down, yet you never see a frown, 'cause I love it, can't rise above it. When you want to, you are able to make me feel that I'm like Garbo. Then next minute, you make me feel like something from the zoo. First you warm up, then you're distant. Never knew a boy so inconsistent. I'm a big shot at 1:30, a so-and-so by 2. Heaven forgive you for your sins, keeping me on needles and pins. You're a builder-upper, a breaker-downer, a holder-outer, and I'm a giver-inner. Sad but true, I'm a sapperoo too, taking it from a taker-over like you. Don't know where I'm at, I'm just a this-er, then I'm a that-er, a taker on the chin-er. My, 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 what a weakie am I to love you as I do. I'm ready to sob, you hand me a throb, and everything is hunky-dory, and that's my story. Open your arms, and I'm a stooge for your charms. You're a builder-upper, a breaker-downer, a holder-outer, and I'm a giver-inner. Sad but true, I love what I do, being broken by a builder-upper like you. Take it from a taker over like you. Break a downer. I love you, yes, I do. Just when I'm ready to sob, you hand me a throb, and everything is hunky-dory, and that's my story. Open your arms, and I'm just a stooge for all of your charms. You're a builder-upper, a breaker-downer, a holder-outer, and I'm a giver-inner. But true, I love what I do, being broken by a builder-upper who is like the likes of you. You make me feel so blue, and yet I'm happy too. How I love being broken by a giver and a breaker down, a builder-upper like you. Yeah.
1939, you wrote a score for a film called The Wizard of Oz, and
That was
no one will ever forget the name of E.Y. Harburg since then. One of the great things about that score is that I think that it revealed your whimsical side. And you wrote lines like, I'd unravel every riddle for every individual.
Yeah.
And you rhyme prowess with malice. And things like that, which have really, I associate with your style and are distinctly Yip Harburg.
I think so. I think I have a penchant for playing with words and redirecting them.
You enjoy
especially
it, don't
you? If I have characters that are appropriate for that kind. For example, when I'm dealing with fairyland people, pixies like leprechauns and people in Oz, then I have a right to do that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And after all, what is lyric writing? Lyric writing is word game, isn't it? And
how did those occur to you? I can't imagine. They're so wonderful.
I don't know. I just think language is the most playful thing there is, and if you can't play with language, if you're a lyric writer, that after all, if you want funny lyrics, you have to have funny sounds,
mm-hmm.
and funny thoughts, and if you can. Well, now look at James Joyce did in a serious way, almost he got a world reputation, didn't he, for taking words,
mm-hmm.
mixing them up, putting them together, and whether you know it or not, you have an identification with these words in a much more imaginative and exciting way than you do with real words, because you can take 2 and 3 words. Now take, for example, a thing that I always love to show when I'm talking, take as an example, rather, Glockamora. How are things in Glockamora? Why is that so interesting to people, Glacomora? Because, again, I am not only just taking words out of the air for a place that is non-existent, for a place that would be desirous for everyone to want to reach for. Well, Glacomora, if I said Cleveland, you wouldn't care about what's going there, would you? But Glacomora, whether you know it or not, I combine glick, glucka, which is luck, with mora, which is tomorrow, Morgan, Glacomora. So there's
is that
a, subliminal,
glick,
a subliminal identification with lucky tomorrow.
Is that Gaelic, the language?
It's Gaelic. Glacca is Gaelic. Mm-hmm. Mora is Gaelic.
Oh, wonderful. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I'd love the word.
Let's see. What is it behind that thing? It's taking life and keeping it on a childish level and kind of laughing at all the grown-ups who think that it's a serious proposition and that they got to work at it with not only with heavy machinery, but with guns and with bombs and kill each other for it, when it should be playful and lighthearted. And I think that that pervading idea inside of me that we live in a world that should be full of pixified fun, you know, flowers, buds, and we make such heavy, pompous materials to live by and with. And I think psychologically, it's my way of laughing at people who are serious and pompous and not seeing the playfulness of life, and doing it through language.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Why, it's a man made out of tin. Yes. Did you say something? He said oil can.
My goodness, I can talk again. Oh, it feels wonderful.
Well, you're perfect now.
Perfect? Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it. It's empty. The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart. All hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me about symphony. Above a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
That was wonderful.
You've been listening to part one of a three-part look at the career of legendary writer Yip Harburg. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.